Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct to my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, it's another weekend and another busy one. And boy, we had some cold weather.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I, you know, originally come from an ag background. And so there was a couple, I know there's still some farmers out there with some sweet corn left out there and some other things to harvest. And so, yeah, it was a little scary. I think we're okay though. I think, you know, there were maybe some pockets and stuff that they got down right at that freezing point, but most everything stayed around that 35. Was that, what, Tuesday and Wednesday there, or Monday and Tuesday?
We didn't get the blast that it, I think everybody
I'm glad, because we really just need another week and a half. And I think everybody in the basin's a lot safer on that, right?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it got my office all fired up about what we talked about on the radio last weekend, and that was, you know, prepping for those sprinkler blowouts. Taking those hoses off. I mean, we did most of the show about all those tips last week, and I didn't even know the forecast at that point. It was that time of year though, and it's going to be more important in the next couple weeks. So, just a quick recap reminder: if you get those sprinklers blown out and you're going to sell, get a receipt, have a professional do that. Same thing with the pool closings.
Yes.
And then we're getting to that point and time of the year when if you're leaving your house for an extended period of time or there's a vacant house, keeping that thermostat set at a level that will not let the pipes freeze.
Exactly.
And, you know, through all my years of real estate, I've seen some bad stuff, and I've seen some people that thought setting the thermostat at 45 would keep the pipe from freezing. And
no,
it might have the very center of the house, but those exterior walls and attic spaces that had pipes running through, that does not quite get the job done.
No, it doesn't.
So, interestingly enough, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this one combines two of my favorite things, snow skiing and hockey.
Yes. Obviously.
And what we have is Olympic gold medalist. We talk about why do people sell homes. A lot of times we talk about career changes, life changes, job transfers. Well, Lindsey Vonn, Olympic gold medalist Lindsey Vonn, is no exception to that rule. Recently, here comes the hockey connection, recently engaged to PK Subban of the New Jersey Devils, who was with Nashville Preds for years. And so PK and Lindsay engaged now. She purchasing a new home in New Jersey with him. So she's put her Vail, Colorado home on the market. So, you know, there you go. Life change, and I won't necessarily call it a job transfer, but she probably doesn't need to be in Vail as much as she did before.
No, because I think she's pretty much done with the competitive skiing.
Yeah, I don't follow it close enough to say for sure, but I think you're right. I think that schedule is a lot less intensive, intensive than it was. And PK Subban, I've only ever met him one time, but I was with my kids and we were at an event and a hockey event. And I tell you what, super nice guy, pictures with both the kids and time to talk to him. So anyway, fan in my book. And, you know, I think when someone's nice to kids and spends time with them and talks to them, that's a huge indication. Now, that being said, I do not want to get hit by him on the ice. So there you go. So that's our crazy national celebrity real estate story. $6 million in Vail gets you a 2011 built 7,000 square foot house with 5 bedrooms and 6.5 baths. And you can work out in the same gym that Lindsay did some of her prep in. So,
wow.
So there you go. Well, we always like to temper that with a local real estate news story. And I got to tell you, this week we've been kind of working up to it. And here it is. And that is inventory. Inventory of homes available in the Tri-Cities now finally snuck up to and back up to just over 700, depending upon how you run the report, 733 to 720. I've been talking about for buyers and people going into the market, a healthier market. And I, looking back, I went back and dug into the history because I couldn't remember the last time we were at 700. Years have a tendency of getting away from me. And
years.
The last time that we had inventory above 700 was October of 2015. So, wow. So we have now returned to an inventory level that we have not seen in really four years. And so we've talked about that a little bit on the show, but I thought it, I thought it justified speaking a little bit in depth to that today, because that's generally a sign when we would call that a changing market. And I hinted at it a couple weeks ago because I mentioned on the radio that I was starting to see more agents in our market sending out price reduction emails, which in many times can be an indication that that the market has shifted a little bit, or it's either that it shifted a little bit, or they let the seller and themselves drastically overprice the house. So there's a couple different reasons there, and so I thought I would talk a little bit about that, because in a changing market, that's going to become more important. And so we said a changing market. Now, I don't want people to think and say, gosh, I listened to the radio on Saturday mornings and that Ken Moore guy says the sky is falling in and this is the most inventory we've had since 2015. Not true. Yes, the part about inventory is true, but the fact of the matter is this is moving to a more neutral market, which longer term I think is going to be healthier for our affordable housing and healthier for the amount of buyers that we can put into homes. So one of the things that I really wanted to go over, and that is what I call proper pricing in a changing market. And that's one of the reasons why we'll see some of those price reduction emails. We'll see more listings price reduce. And a lot of customers are going to be trying to figure out what's going on in the market. Because who's kidding who? When there's only 400 homes on the market in Tri-Cities, and that's roughly a one-month supply, people are taking the last highest sold comparable, generally tacking more money onto it, slinging it out there. And since there's nothing available because of scarcity, someone's crazy enough to buy it. So if, my neighbor's same house sold for $215 last week, and 3 weeks ago, my other neighbor's same house sold for $210. And so it only makes sense, Lance, that my house would sell for $220 next week. And so you're playing a rapidly, rapidly changing market that involves a lot of scarcity and lacks a lot of the fundamentals of proper pricing. So the first thing that I wrote down for people to consider, and we have had a ton of calls about this in the last 2 weeks, and that is reviewing comparables of recently sold homes. I talked to my sales team about this week. I'm talking to sellers about this. And that's really taking a look at what has actually closed and sold and for what price. And then how does that compare to your home? The example I gave before was you're just picking a house before you and then raising the price. And in a normalized market, you're going to need to have, in general, data from the previous 3 months of houses that are very comparable
to yours.
And then you're going to have to price accordingly and similar to that. And so one of the things that we're looking at is to be a comparable. What are some of that criteria? Well, if you can, it's best to get something that's between a quarter and a half mile of your current home. If it's
location,
that's going to be a huge factor, McKay, and you're exactly right. That old saying doesn't change much. And so it's very difficult if you're comparing a three-bed, two-bath in South Richland versus a three-bed, two-bath in West Pasco. There's going to be differences in those markets between those cities. So when you're really narrowing down the price, proximity to your current home is a big deal. The other thing is age of home, trying to find comparables that are roughly the same age. Mm-hmm. If you get houses that are a decade or two older in your comparable list, those homes have some what we call functional obsolescence. And now I'm starting to use words like an appraiser would use. Mm-hmm. But functional obsolescence is when you're looking at something worked great 20 years ago, is not necessarily, though, does it work really well right now for its intended use? Mm. And so you've got to look at if there are portions of the house that, you know, no longer apply in today's day and age. So maybe it had a heating system that they don't make anymore. It's still working, but they don't make it anymore, so you can't repair it.
Get parts.
And so there's a lot of these factors that come into play. And so if you can find something that is within, really, as a ballpark figure, I use 10 years. You know, if we're looking at a 2010 house, we probably don't want to go much older than 2000 when we're doing those comps. Mm-hmm. And depending upon the upgrades and stuff for the time, it might even be 2005, you know? So, I mean, just for instance, if I look at a house that was built in the late 90s and there hasn't been any updating, I'm seeing brass faucets and brass shower enclosures, mm-hmm. you know, versus now today when we are, you know, brushed nickel and bronze and, you know, that type of color palette. So you want to find something that is built within the last 10 years. The other thing that comes up so often in pricing that we deal with, and that is for a comparable, having a square footage amount that is roughly within 10% of your square footage. So if you're pricing out a house that's 1,500 square feet, 10% of that, 150 square feet. We want to try to shy away from a comp that is under 1,350 square feet, and we don't really want to use a comp that is over 1,650 square feet, because then we're having to make major adjustments based upon square footage that we otherwise wouldn't have to do. So if you're looking for a three-bed, two-bath Rambler, 1,500 square feet, you really want to find what is sold that was no less than 1,350 square feet and that is no more than 1,650. And if you can find those amongst the other parameters, that's a great way to do it. And a lot of people want to ignore comps. And I'm going to talk about that when we come back from our first break, because a lot of people will call and say, you're going to have a really hard time pricing out my house, Lance, because there's just no comparables out there. There's nothing like it. So we are going to, when we get back from the break, talk about how Lance answers that question.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about pricing homes in a changing market. Now, don't get me wrong. I've had calls from when I've done real estate shows like this before, and people have said, oh my gosh, Lance says the inventory is crazy high. Well, it's not crazy high. It is crazy high in comparison to where we've been the last 4 years.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, 600 is considered or was a stable market. I remember you said that.
So 6 months, not okay, 600.
Okay.
So 6 months is considered a neutral market. Six months supply of homes.
6 months supply.
And we've been running in the range of like 1.5 to 1.8, like crazy, crazy low numbers the last, 4 years. Mm-hmm. So now we've finally gotten to 700, above 700 active homes on the market, which is the first time since October of 2015 that we've been in the 700s based upon Tri-City Association of Realtors data. And that is perfectly fine. Like in Lance's mind, I'm like, okay, this market needs to take a little bit of a breather, become a little more customary. We've already, priced a lot of people out of the affordable housing market. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had enough choices for buyers. So do I think the market is bad or going down? Absolutely not. Like we are still, that amount of inventory is still great. It's just mm-hmm. not nearly as hot as it was. So I call that a changing market because we're starting to trend to where you have to go back to looking at some fundamentals in pricing your home. And so before the break, we talked about finding those comparables, using some of those rules about within 10% of square footage, within a quarter to a half a mile, a mile from your home at the most in a standard area. And then we talked about that call where folks will come and talk to me and say, well, Lance, I don't know how, you're not going to be able to use the comparable approach because there's nothing like my home. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because what Lance will generally say to those folks, and I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything about it, but I'll generally say, there are some comparables for your home. You just don't want to look at them. or you want to ignore some of them, because what happens then too in that instance is we have to dig into that a little bit more. And absolutely, there have been homes that I've sold where there's not a comparable. We talked last week about the auction that's going on, later today, I think. There's homes in the Tri-Cities that are 15,000 square feet, and there might only be one comparable or zero in that case. And but what you have to look at in that case is alternative choices. So it might not be exactly like your home, but if buyer A doesn't buy this home, what are the other choices that they have to go look at? And generally, we'll get a sense of that with our clients when we're out looking. So it might not be an exact comparable, but if that doesn't give us the number, we need to take a really close look at what the alternatives are. And so then we'll go into and start to look at those as comparables. The other thing that we look at, I wrote down a couple points here, and I said the next thing that we look at is let's learn from other sellers' mistakes. So one of the things we're also looking at is we can go in and we can review listings in the area that didn't sell. And then we can use those to gain some insight to what was going on there. Was mm-hmm. it a price point? Or was it a condition issue? Was the paint peeling off that house? Or I drove by and they never put in the landscaping to the house. So it might have looked good on paper with, square footages, but maybe the house was orientated incorrectly. And so it only had a one-car garage and everything in the neighborhood had two. So one of the things or in some cases, the worst case scenario is just that it was a perfect comparable to your house and they just overpriced it too high.
Yeah.
And so they didn't get the showings and it didn't sell. So when we talk about learning from other sellers' mistakes, we talk about looking at some of the expired listings that didn't sell and what happened there. The next thing that I wrote down is don't let your price lump you in with the competition. So, in fact, over the years, I've seen a bunch of different type of pricing that was done. In fact, when early on, a lot of companies, probably 15 years ago, and that sounds... That sounds funny to say out loud. I was actually, I was going to complete the sentence 15 years ago when things were just heating up with internet sales. And I can't believe I just made myself sound really old. Or that's not a very long time, McKay. Isn't that crazy when we say that out loud, how much our industry has changed?
Well, I remember.
But really, it was only 15 years ago. I remember one of the trends that came out in real estate and only lasted about 2 years is what people called and they tried it for a while, and what people called banded pricing. So they would have a price band instead of a specific price. So when they would list their house on the internet, and this was all the rage for like 2 years, you would say competitively priced from 250 to 260. And so that's how they would list it online. And so then what they thought was going to happen is they thought people were going to see the 250, get excited, and then create a bidding war, and then actually sell for 260. Well, unless you had a very, very low inventory market, which we did not back in that time frame, what happened was everybody would just see the 250 price, and all consumers were hesitant to offer above 250. And it also created mass confusion in, because not every website was doing it. So when people would search for a price, the banded properties sometimes wouldn't even show up. So it was kind of one of those things that just never quite took off and got going. So there was banded pricing. But what you can do, though, what is helpful is if you look at your competition in a band. And now I'm not saying list it like that, but if you say, what is selling, you know, for instance, in that range of, you know, 250 to 255, and you're in that range, and you say, gosh, every single three bed, two bath with a two car garage is selling at 255. They're just 100% there. Well, if you have a time crunch, or you have a new house you're building and you need to get this one sold and under contract, or you're in a contingency where you have to sell yours first, if you look at that, then, and you really needed to sell, if you price at 250 and not at the 255, you're now the only house in that band. Meaning if anybody is searching up to 250, say somebody's price point is 225 to 250, they tell their agent to run a search. Maybe then everything else is two bedroom, two bath, but bam, right at the 250, they hit yours. And all of a sudden they get a three bed, two bath. And they don't even ever look up to 255 where all the other ones are. You are going to sell long before your other competition does at 255. Because now what are they comparing to? They're comparing you. All they've been seeing is two bed, two baths. And then all of a sudden, bam, they find yours. Done deal. That house is sold.
Yeah.
And so you got to look at that range. Sometimes $5,000 is way more than $5,000. And so you've got to look at that range and say, you know, yeah, I'm at 255, but geez, there's 100 more searches per day done at the 250 mark. And so you kind of go where the eyeballs are in that scenario and take a look at that. The other thing that you can look at is, and this is what we talked about, is putting yourself in the buyer's shoes. And so it's really, really difficult for people to do. And in fact, what I do is I bring what's happening in the market, and I talk about what we talk about in our sales meetings, and I bring that to the radio, and we talk about that. And putting yourself in the buyer's shoes is a big deal. And so when I say we're looking at selling, sometimes it is so valuable to get with your agent and say, you know what, I think we're really, really close. I think I want a price at 275, and you've told me adamantly you think we should be at 260. So let's do this. If we price at 275, you said there's a lot more competition and better homes than ours. You know what? Let's pretend to be a buyer and let's go with you and let's go check out those three comparables. Let's go and look around and see what do those comparables like. Actually go and tour that house and say, I'm looking at this house and your house, and have your agent ask him, say, okay, now pretend you don't even know me. You're not trying to get my business and represent me as a seller, but how would a buyer, because you're with buyers all the time, or you talk to them in your office meeting or your buyer's agents do, what's a buyer going to say about this other house versus my house? And go through, and that's hard for sellers to hear sometimes, because all they know is they've lived there the last 20 years, and you know their white stove and white microwave work just as good as it did 20 years ago. And so I don't know why anybody would need stainless, so that's what happens. And it's really, really difficult to take yourself out of that routine and get a look of what, yes, it has. You are 100% correct. What you're saying is right. It has worked. It works just as good as the stainless and that, but that is not going to be conveyed to a buyer. A buyer's going to come in through and they're going to be looking for a certain look or a certain age, and that's going to be their perspective. So you've got to rotate that. And honestly, McKay, if everybody could do that, I would be out of a job. I mean, that is really a part of what we do, is help people see that scenario. It's a big, big underrated portion of what we do, and we spend a lot of time working on that. So those are some of the things that people are, we're kind of getting back to the basics here. We're coming into, we're going to be headed towards a more neutral market. If I'm a buyer right now and I'm listening to this show, I am freaking out excited, because there's never been more inventory on the market in the Tri-Cities since 2015. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a better priced market, and we're looking at interest rates that have no business being where they are, that low. So I can actually go find a house now and I can get the cheapest payment I was going to get on it in the last couple of years, because rates are so freaking low. So if I'm a buyer right now, go to kenmoreteam.com. If you were priced out of the market in the last 2 years, look at the market again. Go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. Mm-hmm. We can get you. We can get you signed up on our website. We can also get you signed up on our list of coming soon listings that we're preparing and sellers are getting ready, so that you can check those out before they hit the market. So, give me a ring. Let me know what's going on there. Before I run out, though, real quick, so we talked about that inventory. We're making a big push to get more of that on. I've got to pick three. Real quick, 3157 Red Hawk Drive. Mm-hmm. This is like a brand new Titan-built home. 1676 square feet. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler. Love Titan Homes out in the Horn Rapids community. That's LVP nice. Flooring, vaulted ceilings, custom built in. I talked about those stainless steel appliances. This has it. Quartz counters, corner pantry, large dining area, private master suite. I mean, boom, boom, boom. Everything you would want in Horn Rapids, close to the walking path, the golf course, the community pool, the tennis courts. And that's $365,000.
Wow.
I don't even think Titan can rebuild it right now for that. So fantastic property. Pick number two, 5719 Westport Lane in Pasco. This is move-in ready. It just had new exterior paint, new carpet, almost 2,000 square feet. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath West Pasco house. Absolutely fantastic, large upper-level master suite. You've got a walk-in closet, full private bath, big dual-sink vanity, great, great layout. fully fenced backyard, and that's coming in at $289,900.
Wow.
Okay, we talked about when the market was 400 homes on the market, you couldn't find anything for $289,900.
No.
Now we've got some fantastic choices. And last but not least, pick number three, 6719 West Arrowhead. I got one in each city this week, and I'm taking you over to Arrowhead on Kennewick there. This is an awesome oversized corner lot. This is a three-bed, two-bath, nicely updated, 1476 square foot house, move-in ready, large living room, lots of natural light, updated kitchen, has granite counters, breakfast bar, tile floors. Then for these fall and winter days, it's actually got a wood fireplace, which it's about time we can, you know, get those ramped back up. New roof and updated windows. Oversized two-car garage plus RV or toy trailer parking and a double gate on the side. I mean, this is crazy. $255,500.
Wow.
So there's options now. That's why that's why I'm so excited for our freaking buyers out there, because now we can show them some stuff and get them into some homes. So I tell you what, if you can't tell, I'm jazzed up about real estate right now, and we're going to have a great fall market. Go to KenmoreTeam.com, shoot us a message. We'd love to interview for the job of being your agent. And regardless of that, we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.